When you're juggling everyday life, carrying your faith isn't always easy. Introducing Journa, Premier's new devotional journaling app, created in partnership with World Vision. Each day, Journa gives you a Bible verse, a short reflection, a question to sit with, a written prayer, and space for your thoughts, all in one place, wherever you go. Find Journa in your App Store today, available on iOS and Android. Journa, an app to help you stay connected.
Lucas on Life.
Hello, welcome to Lucas on Life. I'm Jeff Lucas, and it happened again recently, or maybe it would be better to say that it didn't happen. I'm talking about that so-called rapture rumor that went viral on social media, particularly TikTok, just a few weeks ago. It was based on a claim by a South African pastor, Joshua Makila, that Jesus would return for his church on September 23rd and 24th, 2025. This prediction stemmed from a dream where a figure claiming to be Jesus said he would come and take his church on those dates. Now, some believers took that prediction very seriously, preparing for the event by quitting their jobs, selling their possessions. This also led to some social media posts with rapture trip tips, while others were distressed or confused by these claims. After the dates passed without the predicted event, some believers actually framed the failed prophecy as proof that the time of Jesus' coming is near, citing biblical warnings about false prophets. Now, all of this is so bizarre and, frankly, absolutely ridiculous. Not least because Jesus clearly taught that no one knows the day or the hour of his return. So anytime anyone anywhere makes these ridiculous predictions, we know that they're false. And then it's all happened before. A chap called William Miller predicted Christ's return between 1843 and 1844, and then later revised the date to a later occasion. Charles Taze Russell and some of his successors in the Jehovah's Witnesses predicted various dates, including 1874 for Christ's invisible return, so-called, 1914 for the end of the world, followed by 1918 and 1925, predicted by his successor. It's been suggested that more recently, Hal Lindsey suggested that the rapture would occur before 1988 in his book, The Late Great Planet Earth. And then, believe it or not, there are some more. Egner Wisenant predicted the second coming for September 1988 in his booklet, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be Happening in 1988. Let me give you one reason why that book should never have sold a single copy. Let's be reminded that Jesus again said, "No one knows." Finally, Harold Camping predicted the rapture for May 21st, 2011, and then later revised it to October 21st, 2011. Now, why does all of this stuff happen? Why do Christians buy into it? Surely, it's partly because of a refusal to stop and think. Let me make a really strong statement. Brainless Christianity is no Christianity at all. Blogger Dan Rackmacher puts it strongly like this. He said, "As I look around the world today, I find many evangelicals who haven't been encouraged to ask questions about their faith, to wrestle for themselves with the big issues that go along with faith development. They've been conditioned to rely too heavily on authority figures to tell them what to think instead of being trained how to think." Dan continued, "In my experience, many seem to have an underdeveloped ability to think critically about other issues too, and so are easily misled. As I peruse social media, I find many bogus quotations and clearly fake news that has been reposted by Christians because they lack the ability to ask critical questions of things that they read. The problem is that the resurrection is not fake news, but it might as well be if we can't begin to think critically about why we believe what we believe. It could be," Dan concludes, "that the future of Christianity itself hangs in the balance. So there's a need for those of us who follow Jesus to be people of the Bible, but also people who will wrestle with it, who will think. So tonight, let's think some more about the need for us to think some more. You're listening to Premier Christian Radio, and we're thinking about the need for us to think more. The photograph hangs in our hallway, a black and white reminder of a beautiful blue sky day. The shot features a smiling young couple standing on the steps of a church building, married just minutes earlier. Kay, my wife, and I tied the proverbial knot in 1978, a year when the first cellular phone was introduced, Grease was the hot new movie, some of the greatest music in history was produced, and the clothes that we wore, well, they were absolutely hideous. Looking back, it seemed that a fashion demon roamed the earth, mugging all and sundry, including this happy couple. That photograph shows me wearing a suit jacket with lapels so wide, a gust of wind could have swept me off to Sweden. I'm wearing flared trousers, big enough to act as flaps during my flight to the land of ABBA, who, by the way, were champions of truly awful attire, which included glitter-sprayed platform heels. The snapshot also shows me sporting a kipper tie, the knot slightly bigger than my head. These days, my hairstyle is a stranded peninsula. It used to look like Texas on my forehead, but now has shrunk down to something akin to the Isle of Wight. Back then, I had plenty of hair, which, believe it or not, I had permed. My curly fringe stuck out, forming a potential rain shelter for passing children and small animals. I'm biased, but Maya Kay looked beautiful, even though her wedding dress was a flouncy nightmare. Guests viewing the photo ponder Kay's loveliness, stood next to nerdy me, and they usually ask her a question. Why? We also have questions, but not about why we married. We wonder why we considered those fashion choices to be attractive. What were we thinking? The answer to that question is simple, because we weren't thinking, we were just following the current trend. Only in looking back do we stand amazed at our atrocious garb. Like the rest of the world, we just went along with the crowd. We humans are rather gifted at getting in step with each other. When it comes to just going along with whatever is current, ancient fashions just make us smile, but there could be far more serious consequences if we mindlessly follow the barked orders of our culture. In a world where values and norms are shifting at warp speed, those who've determined to follow Jesus can feel intense pressure to just march along to the beat of culture's drum. But we Christians have always been called to be non-conformists, regardless of the denominational club that we're part of. The Apostle Paul, a chap who caused riots everywhere he went, offers us a clear challenge ever relevant today. He said, "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking." That's Romans 12:2 in the Message. We need to think. To think about the way we live, to think about what we take on board when we hear that latest teaching or rumor that's going around the church. But thinking, it's easier said than done. Step out of line with the current cultural consensus, and we'll quickly find ourselves tagged as intolerant, maybe even bigoted. Ironically, the worshippers of tolerance frequently refuse to tolerate a dissonant voice, even if that voice is generous and kind. And then there are real concerns about biblical illiteracy among believers. Some of us don't really know what Scripture has to say about controversial moral issues, and worryingly, we're not overly concerned about our lack of clarity. All of this can create a lethal cocktail where we dash lemming-like to thoughtlessly agree. The final nail in the coffin comes when those who teach and preach Scripture feel forced to back away from discussing hot potato topics. Biblical dialogue then is cancelled because there's fear of the backlash that might result. So, Today, let's know that we're called to be people who wrestle with Scripture, including the bits that we don't really like. If we're to be faithful and known as Jesus' disciples, then thinking, thoughtful reflection, and gracious courage are called for, especially when culture contradicts Christ. Docile, mindless adherence will surely cause the salt to lose its flavor and dim the light of love that we are called to be. And by the way, if you need a tie big enough to double as a tablecloth, then know that I'm your man. Men can be irrational creatures, to say the least. One of the more bizarre evidences of weird life on planet male is our deep reluctance to believe what the petrol gauge on our car is desperately trying to tell us. Despite the ominous sight of the white needle hovering just above the E, the yellow flashing light in the shape of a petrol can, we still refuse to believe that we're actually getting low on fuel. And some of us take this as a personal challenge and do everything we can do to get home without taking the 2 or 3 minutes needed to do the obvious and fill up the tank. So it was for me during a family holiday with friends. We were in the West Country and we were about to venture onto Dartmoor. Despite the fact that we were moving into foggy, treacherous territory where the hound of the Baskervilles roams free, I decided to ignore the fact that we only had a quarter of a tank of petrol left. But that was but my first mistake of the day, because there would be a trinity of errors. The second lash-up came when, unsure about our route once we were actually on the moor, I took a turning that I felt convinced was right, because I have an intuitive sense of direction, not, and one that took us down what felt like a waterlogged potholed farm track, which was probably because it was a waterlogged potholed farm track. We then found ourselves in an area which sported lots of red flags that fluttered bravely along the roadside. We marvelled how lovely it was that the locals got together for frequent fetes and carnivals, and then we realised that we were slap bang in the middle of an army firing range. My confidence that we were on the correct road had led us into a place where we could easily end up in the sights of a goggle-wearing military person in a tank, a chap with a lifelong ambition to fire an armour-piercing shell at a moving target, like us. So now we were lost on the moors with the petrol gauge on E, praying that the Lord would miraculously provide us with a large petrol station, preferably one that served cappuccinos, and stranded in the middle of a potential war zone. But there was yet more to come. Because we finally made our way back to civilization and filled up with petrol, and then driving down a road, we noticed a house for sale. We stopped and eagerly jumped out of the car and wandered up to the for sale sign, which also contained some leaflets that showed the price. Thinking of myself now as an expert in the UK housing market, I turned to my friend and made a solemn declaration of absolute certainty. "Mark my words," I said, "this house will never, ever sell. It's just priced way above the market. These sellers are crazy." At that exact moment, a car drew up that had an estate agent sticker on the driver's door, and a suited man hopped out and walked swiftly over to the for sale sign and tacked a huge sold board over it as I looked on haplessly. It was then that I realized once again a truth that is unpalatable to most of us and quite unthinkable to some, and that is that we can be wrong. And that's why we need to think a little more. Perhaps we get used to the feeling that we're just generally in the right. And the fact that we hold a Bible in our hands, which we rightly insist is the inspired word of God, can give us a sense of consistently being in the know. And then we rush to the conclusion that our choice of music, our understanding of the Bible, our brand of church, and our entire worldview on life, that in all of these areas, we are basically in the right most, if not all, the time. And then when we stubbornly insist on being experts, our churches implode, our marriages erode, and others around us take a vow of silence rather than take us on. That's why we need to think more, reflect, ask questions, and realize that we don't know it all. So Let's take notice of the fuel gauge. Let's read the map. Let's not jump to swift conclusions about property prices. And in short, let's know this, and it might just prevent us from getting shelled by a British Army tank. We could be wrong. Much of the time, we are. So, let's think more. Here's Celtic worship in Christ alone. So, let's think. A thinking mind acts as a filter against deception. We're called to love God with all of our minds. Scripture promises that we can be and will be transformed by the renewing of our minds as we walk daily with Jesus. And as we are thinking Christians, we can share a reasonable faith and be willing to be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. This week, let's think. See you next time.
Lucas on Life.
When you're juggling everyday life, carrying your faith isn't always easy. Introducing Journa, Premier's new devotional journaling app, created in partnership with World Vision. Each day, Journa gives you a Bible verse, a short reflection, a question to sit with, a written prayer, and space for your thoughts, all in one place, wherever you go. Find Journa in your App Store today, available on iOS and Android. Journa, an app to help you stay connected.